You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We welcome you back. It has been a busy show with Mel Kiper and, of course, Landon Dickerson and Mac Jones joining us an hour ago. But there has been another big, big story today concerning the NCAA, and it's breaking news, and here to discuss it is Nicole Auerbach about the new one-time NCAA transfer policy. And Nicole, it's good. It's been too long. Great to have you back on our program. Thanks so much for the time. And it is breaking news, so let us know what's been going on and what it all means.
Yeah, you know, it was a very eventful week in the NCAA world. It's kind of crazy because it feels so inevitable and it felt so expected because basically over the last year, everyone's been telegraphing this, that the transfer rule is going to change. And yet it was still a big deal. This is still a historical vote to allow all athletes, including football players, the ability to transfer once and play right away. And, you know, it eliminates the mechanisms that were in place for coaches to block transfers to certain schools. It's a really significant athlete-friendly decision. And, you know, I was told by multiple people that it was unanimous. And that was pretty jarring because, again, this has been such a controversial issue. There have been so many arguments and hand-wringing and public statements and quotes and comments and questions for like a decade on this topic. And to finally be at this point, it is a really big deal.
And Nicole, a lot of questions after this next question, but how did we get here? What was the impetus behind this move?
Well, I mean, honestly, I think that it really had to do with some of the high profile examples of coaches blocking players. You know, Bo Ryan, that speaks to this. That was, I think, back in 2012. There have been a number of cases in football. And so I think that started the shift in public opinion when you saw these multi-million-dollar a year coaches blocking athletes from transferring within their conference or to someone on their schedule. And you're like, come on, this coach could leave. The coach would get to play next, would get to coach next year. Like, how is this fair? And I think that started to shift the public opinion. But then in recent years, you also had, you know, again, more telegraphing. So the NCAA going to a transfer portal was because coaches were not allowing other schools to contact their players when they said they wanted to transfer, right? So it was like a blocking on the front end of the process. They got rid of that, and they decided to have the portal. Then you had all these waivers get approved for quarterbacks like Justin Fields and a lot of prominent players. They were getting approved at such a high rate because clearly the NCAA felt like it was compelling that these cases, that the athletes should be allowed to move freely and get to play right away, again, as the coaches have been able to move freely and coach right away. So all of this was trending in this direction. Coaches are going to complain. They're going to talk about roster management, how difficult this is going to be. But these decisions were going to get it made for them because they were, in a way, part of the reason that we got to this point in the first place, because they were blocking players and they were being really petty about some of these decisions. So we had to get the NCAA involved in the first place. And then public opinion has just done a total 180 on this issue. And I feel like even us in the media, the way we talk about players who have transferred has totally changed. It's not like, oh, wow, he's transferred. What's wrong with him? It's, oh, he's transferred twice. And there's three guys on this basketball team that have transferred twice. And he's a grad transfer. And, you know, like we just talk about things differently. It's just been a different cultural moment in this space, and a lot of regular students have transferred as well. You know, it's just part of society these days. So all of that happened and got us to this point. And again, it's historic, even though we all knew this was coming.
Nicole, there's always been this stickler here where, you know, you in the past you could transfer anywhere, but within certain leagues, including the SEC, you couldn't do it without a waiver. Now, explain how this decision today affects various leagues.
Well, so it's going to be very interesting because we have heard from a number of conferences preemptively that changed their policies and said they're going to follow the NCAA rule on this. But, you know, we have seen in the past that conferences have had kind of extra restrictions on transfers. They've said, like, okay, you can't transfer within the conference, or you lose, you know, your use a year of eligibility and or can't be on scholarship. Like, we've seen really restrictive measures, but a lot of those have gotten peeled back in the past, especially, again, when things have become public and have kind of forced people's hands. So you've seen leagues like the ACC, the MAC, the Big 12, and some of these conferences say, okay, we are not going to allow, we are not going to have any intra-conference transfers rules. We are just going to follow this. So again, the way that this rule is written, coaches are not allowed to block specific schools. They are going to have to certify that there is no tampering involved. So if they have evidence of tampering, they can obviously bring that, and that player, that would affect that player being allowed to go to a certain school. But there's no way to say, like, oh, we're not going to release you from a transfer. We're not going to give you permission to contact another school. Those elements are gone now. So coaches and schools can't block outgoing transfers anymore. And that's a significant measure. And that's actually even a step further than the way the rule was working in soccer and lacrosse and all these other places before. So, you know, it's going to be an adjustment period. It's going to be something that coaches are going to continue to complain about. But it's just where we are now. And I think that is something we're just going to have to get used to in this new world order. The power is shifting. It's always been so weighted so heavily in the direction of the coaches. And now it is shifting more towards the players.
Nicole Arabeck, let me get to another issue that's out there. This is big news. But, you know, right around the corner or somewhere around the corner, Nicole, we get to NIL. And what is the latest on that?
Well, you know, we're still waiting, and it's honestly really frustrating. And I mean, we're not even the ones who are like on campuses trying to figure this out. But basically, we're in this holding pattern. You're waiting for the Supreme Court to rule about, you know, education related benefits and kind of what schools' athletic departments can provide to athletes. Then you're waiting to see is there going to be a federal bill yet? Because right now there's a couple of proposed ones, but we don't know which piece of legislation is the one that, you know, is going to kind of go through the legislative process and potentially become a law. And if there isn't that in place by July 1st, when Florida's law takes effect and some of the other states that are trying to rush up their effective dates, like what happens? What does it mean if Florida has this law take effect, but nobody else does yet? Like, it's so politically popular, and the NCAA is such a punching bag. Like, the NCAA wouldn't really be able to tell them not to do that. You know, the Florida schools are already marketing around NIL opportunities. So that would be a really messy and chaotic situation, but we seem like we're trending towards that unless, you know, a federal bill is passed in the meantime. So, like, we just don't know. We have to wait and see what these timelines are, and Congress has other things going on. But it's kind of wild. I was talking about this earlier with someone that, like, we cover sports, and yet, like, the biggest things in our world this year are going to be decided by the Supreme Court and Congress. And, like, we don't really have a clear timeline. And, like, we need those guardrails to even understand what the new world is going to look like. And we just don't know. So I feel like everyone in college sports right now is in a bit of a holding pattern.
It is so interesting, Nicole. You mentioned the shifting of public opinion. I'm curious within the circles of the NCAA and intercollegiate athletics, whether someone was against this at this point really doesn't matter, but who were among the last to finally say, okay, this, it's time to change? Because it seems like some of the big guns are making the most noise.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of NIL, you mean, in terms of change?
Well, yeah, I mean, really, in all this, I mean, because even with the transferring, because you and I both know a lot of people are not crazy about what's going on today, and will go on later this summer.
Yeah, no, there are. I mean, I think there's a couple of directions we've seen. Like, we've definitely heard from a lot of coaches who've kind of been lamenting all of these changes coming in college sports. There was all that buzz about, you know, are some of these college coaches going to try to go to the NFL so that they can avoid dealing with NIL instead to go to paid athletes? So I don't know why that was a talking point, but I think, you know, you've seen a lot of longtime administrators retire. Like, it just, we've definitely seen a changing of the guard in certain, you know, very like prestigious positions from an administrative standpoint, commissioner standpoint, like kind of saying, hey, it's time for somebody to kind of handle the next wave of all of this. And I'm kind of done. So you're seeing that. And I think, you know, you're obviously hearing coaches who, you know, some of them are very open to a lot of these changes and adapting. You know, I was just talking to Jeff Brohm at Purdue yesterday, and he was talking about the transfers in particular. And, you know, a lot of coaches have complained about the 25-player initial counter cap and how that's not been changed. And he's saying, you know what, our job is to manage our rosters. Our job is to develop and maintain relationships with players on our team. So we shouldn't, this shouldn't be an issue. Like, yeah, it's going to take work, but like, that's what we're paid for. And that was refreshing to hear, because we don't hear that all the time from coaches. But I do think, you know, sometimes the loudest voices that are against a lot of this stuff are not reflective of everyone. And so, you know, again, maybe some of these longtime coaches who, you know, aren't going to like this shift towards more player empowerment are going to retire or are going to, you know, go off to the NFL or change. But I think for the most part, everyone's adapting. I mean, especially even with the transfer stuff, with the way waivers have been going and the portal, this is been happening for a couple of years now, and a lot of people have adapted. They've sort of set aside scholarships for transfers and not taken 25 high school players. So, like, you've already had, you know, people considering where this was headed and where this was going. And again, there's also coaches who've adapted to NIL stuff and said, this is going to be a big recruiting tool for us, right? So I think, you know, you're going to see a lot of different ways. I do think you could continue to see an exodus from administrators, potentially coaches, if they just don't want to deal with it. But I also think that there's a lot of people who are willing to be flexible, fundamentally support the ideas of athlete empowerment, and they trust that this is going to work itself out somehow.
Nicole, thank you very much with the breaking news. I know it's been a busy day, and it will not stop. Always great to have you on.
Absolutely. Thanks, Paul.
You got it. Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic with the breaking news about the NCAA. We will take a short break. More of your phone calls the rest of the way. We've had a busy one today with Mel Kiper and Nicole and Landon Dickerson and Mac Jones. Yesterday, Herb Street and Dan Mullen. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, we welcome you back, and let's check out Jason in Georgia. Hey, Jason, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Man, I actually called on, didn't even know you had Mac Jones earlier. I missed it. But I think the 49ers might as well call him Kirby Shanahan, because I think he's going to pass on Justin Fields just like Kirby did.
Well, Kirby, Kirby could have kept him, but he was going to have to get rid of his two-year starter in Jake Fromm. So, yeah, you're right. It was a tough call to make.
isn't that the same thing as Jimmy Garoppolo? Because he took him to a Super Bowl, just like Jake took us to a national championship. And he can easily pick Justin Fields, but he's probably going to pass on him.
Well, I'm not an NFL draft expert, but I think I can quote the ones who are saying that they wouldn't have made that trade if they didn't know what they were, if they didn't know where they were going.
Paul, I think you could be a draft expert. I mean, if you did that and you put your time to that, I think you could be up there with Mel Kiper.
Yeah, I'm sure I can, but or could, but I'm not going to be. So I think I'm. I appreciate the suggestion, though. I find it interesting, but I can't imagine doing that every day of my life. I really can.
Yeah, you have a pretty good job. But Paul, the reason the SEC is the best conference is because we're the only conference that has a chance. SEC, SEC. You'll never go to a Big 12 game and hear them saying, Big 12, Big 12. So we're the best conference, Paul. You have a good one.
Thank you very much. Greg, thank you. Greg is next. Jason, thank you. Greg, you're on the air from Florida. How are you?
Yeah, you have a pretty good job. But, Paul, the reason that SEC is the best conference is because we're the only.
I'm hearing myself again. I've heard myself enough today. Let's talk to John up next in St. Louis. Hey, John, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today, sir?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Paul, I was going to ask you a question. It's why, you know, there's always a lot of talk, a lot of buzz going around about Colin Kaepernick and his opinions about the NFL. And even segueing back into college sports. But why don't you guys have Colin Kaepernick on more often?
Why don't we have Colin Kaepernick on?
Yeah, I mean, why don't you have Colin Kaepernick really actually become a part of your show?
For what reason?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious, don't you, Paul?
I really don't see. I mean, whatever Colin Kaepernick would like to do is fine with him, but I don't see how his career really relates to what we do.
Well, I haven't heard Colin Kaepernick on this show for quite some time, but it seems like there's a lot of people who have a lot of opinions about, you know, how he's been put upon by the NFL and the establishment, but you guys never have him on to really talk about that.
Well, first of all, John, Colin Kaepernick is not the easiest person to book for a program. He has his own life and does whatever he wants, but we wouldn't turn him down. But I have no earthly idea, first of all, even how to contact him.
Well, is that a cop-out?
No. I mean, if he's watching right now, I just have never... The last time Colin Kaepernick was in the news was about 2 years ago when he was thinking about coming back, and I remember I don't think he did any interviews. There's nobody that can't come on this program, but I can also tell you that I haven't, you know, his name has not come up. But if you'd like, we will make an effort to find him.
I think it'd be good to have the young man come on and talk about his opinions and his situation and why he's not playing in the NFL.
Well, John, I think it's pretty obvious why he's not playing right now.
Well, why isn't he playing in the NFL, Paul?
Well, John, if I remember... You're going to have to calm down to have this conversation.
Okay, Paul, I'm going to calm down. You had a young man on the other day, I think 2 or 3 days ago. He was the GM or player personnel director from the New York Jets talking on here. He was talking about Mike from New York City. Okay, he was talking about all this talent out there. Well, you know, everybody's talked about how great Colin Kaepernick is, and, you know, you get his story. Colin's story is that he's being held back. He's not being...
Well, John, allow me to ask you this question. 2 years ago, remember, he did some tryouts. I don't even think he completed the tryouts.
Okay.
He hasn't played in 5 years. Do you think Colin Kaepernick today would be more valuable than Mac Jones or Justin Fields?
I don't know.
Well, I'm telling you, my gut feeling is if he had the talent, if the NFL thought he had the talent today and he could make a difference, he would get an opportunity.
Okay.
This is a cutthroat billion-dollar business. They, you know, what may have been 5 or 6 years ago is no longer. I think the NFL, my opinion, would have liked to have gotten him back in the league a couple of years ago just to calm the waters. And I, from my impression, and I can assure you, I didn't talk about it or pay much attention to it, it didn't look like he really wanted to come back. But I don't really know why this conversation is germane today, but I will move along and talk to Michael in Chattanooga. Hey, Michael. Michael, you there? Michael is not there, but I bet Cat Daddy is. Cat Daddy, what is going on with you?
Big Paul, you looking good. You're sounding good. Enjoying the show when I tell you about Love John. The reason Colin Kaepernick is not in the NFL is he was not a good football player. And in my words, he's not a very good American. But take it to me. So many men who died, black and white and women. And that to me is just unacceptable. And Mr. Prime Bob, if you ever have him on the show, I'm going to tune in Dragnet.
Well, I would never say to anyone not to be on the show, but I couldn't imagine. I can't even imagine the relevancy of him today, other than, you know, maybe he had a book out or something like that and was talking about his career. But beyond that, sorry, I'm not trying to create or short circuit a controversy. But I thought John was just a little bit. You helped me with it. I thought he was a little bit emotional on the issue. What do you think, Cat Daddy?
He didn't seem pretty emotional about it. I don't understand. Everybody knows everything they need to know about Kaepernick by now. And him in another interview, I don't know what you're going to gain by it. I just wish he'd go get a haircut and a job and clean up and start loving the country that gave him the opportunity he's had. This is America. And that's everybody has an opportunity. You just got to get up off your butt and work for it. Amen.
John is up next as we continue here on a wild Thursday afternoon. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. I'm Bama John. How you doing?
I am doing great. How about you?
I'm doing fine. I thought you had a private number. I had called you. I've been trying to talk to you for about 3 years, and I finally got up to you, and I thought you hung up on me the last time.
Well, John, I am glad you got on. I apologize for that. That was our fault, not yours.
But Paul, it's something I'm gonna get right back down to it. But something bothered me, Paul, and it's like, don't they have a thing called Special Olympics?
Yeah. Yes, they do.
Special Olympics.
But John, Special Olympics are for people with disabilities, and there's a specific category that defines who's eligible for Special Olympics.
Yeah, that's right. So, and some of them was born with physical challenges, right?
Right.
Okay, so why do the transgenders want to, get into females' folks?
Well, John, you're, if someone is a transgender,
Paul, let me ask you another thing. I know that's a hard question. I just said that. It's just the way I think. But I'm just saying, why don't the transgenders just get their own Olympics?
Allow me to try to explain this. I'll try.
Right.
This is really about an opportunity, and there are what has brought this into the sports world are certain state legislatures, a couple in the South, who have passed legislation blocking transgenders from competing. This is primarily high school athletics or college athletics for that matter. And it has nothing to do with the Olympics. It has to do with the jurisdiction of the individual state.
Yeah, I understand that, Paul, but the thing about it, you don't find too many women trying to get into, you know, male football.
Well, John,
let me make this last point.
Okay,
man.
Please.
Now, and then the Special Olympics people, okay, they in their own sport, they don't try to go to the regular Olympics because they'll get, you know, it's not called unfair advantage. So I don't understand why they just, that's my little grandchild.
Okay.
But anyway, I was trying to, you know, they, you know, you know what I'm saying,
John? I think I do. I also know that unfortunately we have to break here. Never soon enough. We still have 30 minutes to go, and we appreciate you being a part of the program. And we will get to your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back. And the thing I always try to remind myself, this is a live show. This is not scripted. So appreciate you being here. More of your calls at 855-242-7285. We've had some fantastic guests. I hope you were able to hear Mac Jones and Landon Dickerson together about an hour and a half ago. We had Mel Kiper Jr. and Nicole. It has really been quite an afternoon. And let's check in with Daryl, who is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Daryl.
Hello.
Hey, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
We're doing well.
I'm just going to ask you a couple questions, Paul, and I'll get off here and leave you alone. I won't aggravate you.
Thank you.
Paul, who is that one dude to keep calling you and aggravating you? That one guy, his name is Jeff.
He is from Columbus, Ohio. He's a big Buckeye fan.
Okay, you don't have to explain up and tell me no more. He's from Columbus, Ohio, right?
I mean, what, Daryl? You live near Ohio. What else do you need to say?
Well, what I'm trying to say is, I'm going to ask you another question. The reason he's so mad because when Alabama, you know, destroyed Ohio State, didn't they? Right.
That is correct, and he will.
Well, he might have been a little bit more generous to you if Ohio State would have won, wouldn't he?
He will never get over that.
It's in a history book. Now I'm going to ask you another question. I was wanting to ask you, do you know any basketball players that John Calipari has recruited in so far?
I have not heard much on John, but Daryl, that is a really good question, because with what's going on around the league at the moment with Musselman and Nate Oates, nobody's writing John Calipari off, but I do think there is going to be more pressure from various places. So his recruiting needs to continue, or it doesn't need to continue. It needs to become as good as it has been in the past. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. And let's check in with Dora. How about two calls in a row from Kentucky? Dora, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Dora, we are doing well.
Good, good. I just want you to know how much I appreciate you and how much I appreciate the show. For once, I agree with Cat Daddy. I think Colin Kaepernick, I'm glad he's being really quiet right now. That's all I have to say. I love you, and I thank you for everything that you do for all of us.
Dora, thank you so much. You have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Wow. A couple of calls that I could even reason with. That's unusual for this past hour. Gary in Little Rock, Arkansas. Gary?
Hey, good afternoon, Paul.
Hey there.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Eric Musselman, you know, finally signed the contract, so he's going to be at Arkansas for a while. And the uptick that Arkansas basketball is going to take, you know, I feel like we're similar to back in the late 80s, early 90s with Nolan, and even back with the triplets and Eddie Sutton. So what are your thoughts on that?
I agree. And I've followed Arkansas basketball a very long time, and you're talking about some of the greatest eras in basketball history. And I am a huge believer in this man. He has got such a great personality. He has a fan base, even in a COVID year, fired up, and what a run. And I was very pleased to see the university. I thought they would, but I was also pleased to see them say, hey, what do we need to do to make this work? And it looks like they found the solution.
It really looks that way. And it looks to me like Coach Musselman is bought into the culture up there and just doing a fantastic job. The other thing, I want to give a shout out to Arkansas baseball, doing great this year.
Oh my goodness. It's always great. Nearly won the title a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, but yeah. this team looks like it's got a legit shot at getting back. Hey, well, thank you for the kind words and you be well. Let's move along and talk next to Logan, who is on the air. Hey, Logan.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been a while since I called in. Last time I was on here back in December, I was ranting about Trevor Lawrence getting hyped up for the Heisman and putting up my banner for Devontae Smith. Luckily, the committee got it right, so I'm glad the most deserving player got it. But it's funny that Arkansas was just mentioned. The SEC Network just put out their win total predictions for upcoming football season. As far along as it is from now, I think Sam Pittman at Arkansas is going to do a fantastic job. How have you liked what he's done so far?
I think it has been phenomenal. And I keep thinking it just seems like they won six or seven games last year. I know they didn't. I know they won three, but they let two or three get away from them, which is, par for the course for a new regime. But you know, he is just such a refreshing coach in today's world of prepackaged delivery, and I am going to be shocked if he doesn't hang around Arkansas for a long time.
I think that I'm on the same page as you. Another thing, and I think a lot of people are downplaying it, I think a lot of people have left LSU in the dust just because of last year, and I think some people don't understand while they were bad. I mean, you lose a once-in-a-generation offense led by a once-in-a-generation quarterback, COVID-shortened training, your whole coaching staff leaves. And, yeah, I mean, any other team would be bad. But I think Miles Brennan, I think that offense is going to be not miss a beat at all. I think LSU can compete for at least, I know Alabama might just crush everybody, but I think LSU could throw a couple upsets in there just by they can throw up 50 points. I think the same thing for Ole Miss. I think Matt Corral is going to throw a 40 touchdowns. He might have 20 interceptions, but he's going to look good doing it.
I think you are 100% correct about that, Logan. Hey, thank you for the call. Be well. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.